I mean, I was reading in the Bible this week about how Jesus stayed back at the temple while his parents left and they forgot him. And it really reminded me of Home Alone, you know, like where they were like traveling and all of a sudden they're like, wait, where's Kevin? You know, but this time it was, where's Jesus? Well, let's go back and look. And they found him in the temple. Kind of a little Christmas connection there for you guys there on that. All right, well, good morning. So glad to be here. Weren't those Christmas songs great?
Yeah.
One thing I love about our church is you know we're going to sing those Christmas songs, those old favorites, every time Christmas comes around. It's such a blessing. And if you were wondering why Eric congratulated Audrey on lighting the candle at their wedding, when they lit the candles, they had a terrible time lighting the candles. They just couldn't get them lit, you know, and this time, Audrey, you might be in the running to do this more often, you know. You made that look really easy. So I misspoke last week when I was preaching. Can you believe that? I misspoke about something. I said that my plan was to put Romans on hold until after the new year. That was, I said, a couple weeks off. But I realized I was supposed to be preaching through beginning of Romans 15 today, and then it was the next 2 weeks after that that I was going to do it. But I didn't want to mislead you guys, so I decided I'll just go with what I said last week, and I'll take 3 weeks off from Romans. And so I had to come up with something today. And so it's so much easier to just know what I'm going to be speaking about. But in this case, I kind of looked at my life and maybe just how I thought the Lord was speaking to me and different things going on in my life and looking. And I had this thought that I thought went really well with Christmas and the Advent and the candles. And the thought is about two things, two really important words for today. One of those words is darkness, and the other word is light. Darkness and light. And so today, I'd like to spend some time focusing on darkness and light, and especially the light and who the light is and how that's such an important part of this Christmas that we're celebrating is that Jesus is the light that has come into the world and he shines light in everything and everything's different because we have that light. So would you just join me in prayer as we prepare to do this together today? Lord, thank you so much for our church and our church family and the church around the world and all the different places, Lord, that are meeting together, remembering your death and resurrection and the salvation that you've made possible, Lord. And I pray today that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would hear and understand what your word means and see exactly how it applies to us in our lives today, Lord. We thank you for your love and your care. We thank you for your goodness. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the passage I like to start with is John 1, and I thought about maybe reading the whole preamble of John, but I've shortened it a little bit just to a particular part here. But starting in John 1, verse 6, and John is a book that from the very beginning starts off with really big statement of who Jesus is. But it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, what do we know John as usually? What do we call him often? John the Baptist or John the Baptizer would be a good name. All right, it doesn't mean that he was from the Baptist denomination, but he baptized people is what he did. And he baptized them, you know, to get them ready. It says, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So John was this special prophet sent by God, spoken about in the Old Testament, that came as a forerunner to Christ, that came to bear witness about Christ's coming. And here Christ is the light. And as you read through the context, it's made clear that that's who it's talking about. But he had this job to come and to prepare people's hearts, you know, to turn their hearts towards the Lord and towards repentance. And he had a baptism of repentance. And he called people to that. And to repent means that you have a change of mind and heart that turns you to the Lord, basically, away from your sin and to the Lord. But it's really a real genuine change of thinking and change of heart. And we actually have to have that to be saved. We have to repent. It doesn't mean we have to figure out every single sin we've ever done and turn away from those sins, but we have to have a real turn in our heart and our thinking away from the world and away from sin to Jesus. That's what salvation is, and that's what it looks like. And so that's why repentance is an essential part of that, along with faith. So we go from like thinking we don't need Jesus, we don't need salvation, you know, we're not sinners, to realizing that we're sinners in need of a Savior, and we turn to Jesus and we believe in Him. And that's how God saves us. And so John was preparing people, and he was preparing them to see the light that was to come. But some people would think, well, John, this guy's pretty special. We haven't heard anybody like this in our lifetime. There hasn't been a prophet like this that has come around. And John wasn't the guy who wore the fancy suit. He wasn't the guy that was the most politically correct. In fact, you had to go out in the wilderness to see John, and everyone was going out in the wilderness to see John. And because John was such a powerful man of God and powerful speaker, people thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the one that was coming. They thought he was the light. And he had to tell people, he said, I'm not the light. I'm not the one. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. And in fact, even his disciples, because he had people that followed him that he taught and he helped them to grow in the Lord. Even when Jesus came, they were like, hey, man, what's going on here? Everyone's going to see Jesus and they're not coming out to you anymore, John. And John said, you know what? I must decrease. He must increase. You know, it's not about me, it's about him. And so John prepared the way for Jesus, and Jesus is the one that is the light. It says in verse 9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. See, the world is darkness without God. It's darkness. And when you think about light and darkness, kind of the relationship is that when there's no light, everything's just dark. And light comes in, and light shines, and light brings something that is just not there, that is totally missing without the light. I think about this, I think about how amazing light is. You know, without light, we don't have colors. We don't have plants. We don't have life without light. And in the beginning of the Bible, before God made the sun, God was that light that sustained life. And you know what the end of the Bible says? That God will be that once again. There will be no need for the sun because God will be that light that'll shine. And so it's perfectly fitting that when God kind of went silent for like about 400 years here between the New Testament and Old Testament, and then he sent John the Baptist as this great prophet to come and prepare the way, and then Jesus, it's like this great light was coming back into the world. And this world and everything that exists, guess what? Jesus made it. He was a part of that creation. When it says that God made it, first of all, you look at the book of John here in chapter 1, it says that Jesus was the Word, and He was with God, and He was God, and everything was made through Him. Okay? And when God made the world, He spoke it into existence through the Word of God, and everything was created. And it says that everything that was created was made through Christ and through the Word of God. Not anything else exists that wasn't made through Him. And so He's coming to a world that belongs to Him. Okay, understand this. This world and who we are and everything, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. And we get to use parts of it, and we get to like kind of have some of it for a while, like, you know, like, hey, this is my house. Yeah, that's your house, but it's really God's house. This is my car. No, it's God's car. All right, but God owns everything. He owns that big, beautiful mountain, Mount Rainier. I love Mount Rainier. Love going on hikes in the summertime and seeing waterfalls. And we do live in a beautiful place. But it belongs to God. It's all His. It's from His imagination and from His making. And He made it. And we have this world that exists. And in this world, we have people, we have choices, and we have thinking. But God is the light that shines in this world that lets us to see things, you know, the way that we should see them. And He made this world, and He came to this world, but when He came to this world, people didn't recognize Him for who He was. They rejected Him. They didn't believe Him. They didn't believe what He said. The world didn't know him, and the world doesn't know him naturally. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 12, talks about Jesus when he started his public ministry and how his public ministry was this great light. It says, "Now when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and he lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region in the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" When Jesus started to preach, and he preached in this area that's called like an area of darkness, he went in there and it's a great light. He is a great light. And that's, when I read that, I think about it. I think about my own life. How Jesus is the light in the darkness of my life. And that he is the best thing that ever happened to me in my whole life, in my whole world, is to hear and know about Jesus and for him to save me. And for him to be that light, and for him to shine in the darkness, and for him to illuminate, and for him to show what it's really all about. Because the truth is, without Jesus, every single one of us is living in darkness. We're completely in darkness without Jesus. And so there was this great time, you know, after Jesus was born as a baby and he grew up and all these things happened between that point and he's about 30 years old at this time, that he started to preach. And wouldn't you love to hear Jesus' sermons? You know, we've got some of them, like the Sermon on the Mount, you know, in the scripture. But Jesus began to preach, and he began to preach, and he began to say, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's right here with us." And the kingdom of heaven, you know, a lot of people try to describe, you know, what that is. But it's basically, the way I would understand it, is it's the kingdom that God is building. And it's a kingdom that's bigger than just the moment right now. It's bigger than a physical kingdom. And it's everything that God is working towards. It's kind of like we have it now, but we don't have it in its fullness yet. Sometimes they call that the already but not yet. You know, but it's God, it's his kingdom, it's his work. So if you've come to Christ and you're his child, you're part of his kingdom. And God has saved you. And he saved you. But then there's still some things that he's going to do in your heart, in your life, and in the future. And so it's like he's still working on this kingdom, and other people are going to be joined to it. Back in John 1, verse 11, it says, "He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." And what that means is that he came to that group of people, the Jewish people, the Israelites, that he had set apart as a special nation to be priests and representative for him, and to represent him to the whole world and to serve the whole world in that way. He came to them and they did not receive him. They didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. They didn't believe in him. They rejected him. In fact, that not all of them, because some of them did, but as a whole, as a nation, they didn't believe him. And they were very much the ones that nailed him to the cross and executed Jesus. But he came to his own people and his own people didn't receive him. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And Janelle, I could have favorites too, all right? This says, "But to all," and this is a couple verses, "but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Amen. "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You know, he came to his own people, they didn't receive him, but it wasn't his full plan. See, we talk about him being the king of Israel, and he very much is the king of Israel. But it didn't stop with the nation of Israel. He's the king of all God's people, of the whole world, of everything. Okay, so people didn't receive Christ. But the question for you today is, do you receive Christ? Do you believe in Christ? Amen. Do you welcome him? Do you believe what he says about himself and what the scripture says about him? And he is making an offer just consistently to people to come and to be his child, to be part of his family, to become a child of God. to be welcome, to become an heir of the King, you know, of our Savior, of this one who is the great light. And what this is talking about is something that has to be true for everyone that really is saved. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. He said, you must be born again. And there's no type of Christian, there's no type of person who's going to heaven, there's no type of person who's saved that's not born again. Amen. What's a sign that you've been born again? Well, you believe. You believe in Jesus. Trust Him as your Savior. Okay, that's the sign. It's like He's taken this heart that's like a rock and He's turned it into one that's flesh. And you believe in Christ. And your life begins to produce fruit because there's life, there's spiritual life in you. And you do begin to change and you do begin to grow. And you can look at your life and you could probably see some evidence that, yeah, I have evidence that Christ is in my life because I have been changing. Happens at different speed for different people. And sometimes there's some movement back and forth and some different things, some backsliding and other things. But ultimately, I believe if you're in Christ, you have had a supernatural encounter with the Creator of the universe who has come and indwelt you and lived in you, that you're not going to be the same. You can't be the same. Everything's different. And then you have Him as light in your life. So you have the light in your life. And so this is something that's there. And so I can't help but give the invitation to each and every person here today. First of all, to evaluate your heart. You know, have I been born again? Do I really know Jesus as my Savior? And to know that you are invited to be born again today, to give your life to Christ, to believe in Him and trust Him as your Savior today, and to become a child of God, to be adopted in that way. Amen. Amen. Yes. I think we should celebrate that even more. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You know, John starts off and says this, and I like to use this as a kind of a little bit of a trick at camp in the summer. Like, I'll do these like games with the kids at lunch line, and I'll say, all right, you tell me where this is found in the Bible. And I'll say, in the beginning. And then they'll say, maybe, Genesis. And I'll say, no. And then I'll finish it and they'll say, John, you know, because it starts off exactly the same way. And if they say John, don't tell them, but I might say, no, Genesis. just mess with them, you know. But, you know, John starts off very much that way. And it says, talks about Jesus being the Word and being with God and being God and being the Creator. And so what we have to know and understand when we think about Christmas is that Jesus didn't come into existence when He was born a baby or when He was conceived in His mother's womb. Because isn't that when a baby really, life comes in the mother's womb, right? It's not just when they're born, but, you know, so when they're conceived. And so Jesus existed, though, before this. He existed as God. God the Son, He was with God and He was God, and He left heaven to become a human being, to become one of us, to shine that light in a way that we could see it and understand it. That's what Jesus did. And so when we think about this light and we think about Christmas and what we're celebrating, we are celebrating the incarnation of our Lord. It's God becoming a man, leaving heaven and taking on becoming a true man. You know, and going through all the things that a true man, and it was a time, he was a boy, all those things that he would go through, and experiencing all the suffering and rejection and all the kind of things, any type of thing that we can go through, he's gone through something like it. And he knows and he understands. That's because he became flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John is writing as an eyewitness. And John was really like he was the last apostle. And I had this, when I preached about this quite a while ago, I think there was a movie that had come out. It was one of the Star Wars ones. And they were talking about the Last Jedi. The Last Jedi. And of course, my boys, they all like that kind of stuff and watch it and stuff. But I thought about this. This guy is the last, at one point, he was the last apostle. He was the last one that was taught by Jesus face to face, that served Jesus in that way and was used to start the church and build the church in that way. He was, at one point, he was the last one that was alive and was around. He's writing as an eyewitness there. Now, later on in John, he writes this. He says, again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, and so this is just a short thing. This is what Jesus said about himself. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So it's not just something that was said about Jesus. It's something that Jesus said that he was. He said, I am the light of the world. So he's the light. And if you follow Jesus, this is the incredible promise here, you will not walk in darkness. Amen. And you don't have to walk in darkness. And in fact, one of the things about darkness that's really hard in like where we are is people don't even realize they're walking in darkness. And some part of our job is to try to convince people that they're walking in darkness, but they don't want to believe they're walking in darkness. But the fact is, if you don't have Jesus in your life, and he's not a part of your life, then you are walking in darkness. What does it mean to walk? To walk means like how you live your life, what you do, what you think about, you know, how you operate. Your walk is just how you live. And so you could be living your life, if you live your life without Jesus, if he's not a regular part of your life, if he's not giving you guidance on what you do and what you think and what you say and what your attitude is, and you don't interpret the times through him, then you're walking in darkness. But you don't have to walk in darkness anymore. You could walk with the light, and the light is Jesus. He's the light of the world. And he's come to shed light on your life and your situation. In John 12, 44 through 45, it says, and Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. God the Son did not come into the world independent of God the Father. And when he says, you know, if you believe, you don't just believe in me, the man Jesus, but you believe in the one who sent me. You believe in the Father. You believe in the triune God, really, I would say. He says, you don't just believe in me, but I've come as a light, and whoever believes in me, you will not remain in darkness. He gives light into your life. Now, darkness is this, okay? You ready for darkness? This is what darkness is. And this is what I was saying. I was like kind of like looking around in my life, and I was kind of thinking about different things that I observe and see, and kind of the condition of people's lives and my own life and choices I may have made or make, or these kind of things. Just kind of looking at this life as a general. And I had this moment, and I don't really have really profound moments, because I think this is profound, but this is quite simple here, okay? I'm a very simple simpleton, I guess, right? Darkness is living without Jesus. Amen. That's what it is. Now, there's a physical darkness, right? We're familiar with physical darkness. Now, I give you an example of physical darkness, that just because I think sometimes those things kind of help you see, you know, what it's like. But I was actually going down to visit my son, who lives kind of near Sumner, between Sumner and Ording. And I don't know if any of you have ever driven down there on that highway there, but he lives on like one little road that's like right off that highway there. And of course, I'm getting older and my eyesight's not as good as it used to be, and I've got glasses and there's a reflection of cars and things. But I couldn't see his road to turn off the highway onto his road. It was really hard, and I missed it. I went past his road and I just couldn't see it. And there was nothing there, no light, anything there to help me see which way to go. I couldn't see it. So I ended up going past it. I ended up turning around. And you know, my GPS was like telling me where to go and things like that. And I had that. But the GPS, you know, wasn't so good. What I really needed was my headlights put on something to see the way to go. But without that light, I never would be able to find his place. I never would be able to find his road. And I was in a very dangerous situation, I think, because if I'm slowing way down trying to find this road, I could get hit from behind or something like that, you know. And that's just the problem, you know, as being an old man out there driving around on the roads, you know. But I needed the light to see clearly. And that's a physical light that we're talking about. But life is exactly that same way. So it's like your headlights are really good, but they got to be pointed right at the thing, you know, you're looking at. And it's like Jesus has to be in you and in your mind and your heart and your eyes, and you have to see the way things Jesus wants you to see, and you need to put Christ's light on things. But if you are living your whole life and Jesus is not a part of your life, then you don't realize it, but you're in darkness and you're not safe and you're not okay and you're not making the right choices and you're not going to have the right attitudes about things, and you are in danger. You are.
Amen.
That's just the bottom line. And it's not good. And the thing is, a lot of people, though, are in this place, like Jesus is no part of their life at all, and they're perfectly happy with that. And I think that's the most dark thing in the world. It is. Don't hear, like, try to think of it like this. I'm not, like, putting anybody down for darkness, right? But what I'm trying to convey is that darkness is really just that lack of Jesus. Like, a lot of times we think of darkness, we're like, oh, that was really dark. Oh, that's the most evil thing I could think of. Look at what this person did. Look at this, how they murdered all these people and did all these things. Okay, I'm not taking it there. I'm just saying, like, what the darkness is that we're really up against is a life without Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus is not a part of it. He's not part of the equation. You know, you think about that. You think about people out in this world that will live their whole life and they don't even care anything about Jesus. That's darkness. Okay? Now, let me elaborate a little bit more. When I say life without Jesus, I mean that's life without the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. It's life without any, you know, so the darkness is when you don't have God's Holy Spirit guiding and directing you and showing you the way. And so, of course, life is going to be very different in that way without the presence of God in your life. If you have the presence of God in your life, that's an incredible light to have, to show you the way.
Amen.
Now, another way to think about that is, you know, darkness is life without the Word of God. Now, I'm a fairly disciplined person in some ways, and I'm really not that disciplined in other ways. I don't know, I'm quite disciplined in things like exercise and physical things. I'm not as disciplined in like reading. I've never been a big reader. I don't like to read. Anybody here not like to read? Can you imagine having a pastor that doesn't like to read? I have to discipline myself to read. Now, I used to prefer to watch movies than read, and now I can't even do that because I can't stay awake for the whole movie. So it's a challenge, but I have to discipline myself to do that. But I am completely committed to this. Whether I do it each day or not, I need God's light from His holy word in my life every single day. And every day that I don't read God's word, it's like the darkness just kind of creeps in a little bit more. Now, do you remember there was a movie that my sister Rachel, she watched all the time when she was a kid? It was called The Neverending Story. You guys remember that movie? It's like the nothing creeps in. I have this like picture. This is a little bit what it's like in our lives when we don't have God's word in our life. We don't have that this darkness, this incredible darkness, it just wants to creep in just a little bit more. And it wants to spread to more and more people. Okay, and it becomes bigger and bigger in your life. And so we fight that with God's light. And that's why we need to read the Bible every day. We need to be in the Word. And if we didn't do it, like rather than beating yourself up, don't like be one of these people that's just like walking around on, oh, I don't read my Bible. I should have read my Bible. Like just read your Bible. Because I did that to myself a lot. Like I would be walking around guilty. And I'd even do this. This is the most guilty thing I would ever do. Like I would read my Bible. And then later in the day, I would say, oh, I didn't read my Bible. I should have read my Bible. But wait, I did read my Bible. Because I was just operating out of guilt. Right? I am not suggesting that you do that in any way. Like everything's got to be looking forward. But you need that light in your life. And the more you do it, the more you start to see it. Oh, wow, this is light. This is shining brightly in my life. But living without it, that's darkness. And because, like, if you don't have God's word in your life, you're living without the promises of God.
Amen.
That's darkness, to not have that, to not have what God promises, to not have what God offers. That is darkness. And so, like, what are some of God's promises to us? Well, He'll forgive our sins. eternal life. You know, we'll spend eternity with him. Like, we have something to look forward to past this life. We have this one where he says, never will I leave you or forsake you. You will never be alone. He'll never leave you. He's always there for you. You know, you have those ones like the adoption, like he's adopted, like you are a child of God if you're in Christ. You know, you're a child of the King. Amen? So you have his promises, but if you don't have, if darkness is not having those, and then I kind of mentioned this, but it's you don't have that hope for eternity. I don't really know. I just, and I'm not saying that this is why you do it. Like, you, this is not like just something that we do to make ourselves feel better. Like, no, we really believe this. And if this wasn't true, then we'd be the worst of all people, what the Bible says. But because we have Jesus, we have the Bible, we have these things, like, we have a hope for eternity that goes past this life. Amen. Like, we're going to die someday. The people we love are going to die someday, but what the Bible gives us and what Jesus says, he came to be that light to show the way. I'm going to show you the way to eternal life. I'm going to show you the way to sins forgiven. That's what Jesus came to do, and that's what he is, and he paid the price for us. So darkness is like living a life that you don't have that hope. You know, that idea that, oh yeah, when I die, I'm just going to become dirt in the ground. You know, that's not what the Bible tells us, and that really is not who we are. We are a people that are more than just these bodies. There's the material you, there's the immaterial you. And the immaterial you is going to live somewhere forever. It's what the Bible says. And it can be with God. And you can have that hope for eternity. Now, here are some signs of darkness. Signs of darkness, all right? And these are not, again, I'm focusing on the very normal things. You think of darkness in your life. First of all, busyness. Busyness. Now, that could be work, school, sports, fitness, phones, social media, video games, movies, shows, YouTube wormholes. You guys know what a YouTube wormhole is? YouTube wormhole is like when you're like, okay, I'm going to watch something on YouTube. And then you go, well, I'm going to watch the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And you go down this wormhole, this journey of something, and you have no idea how you got there. Now, the fact is, this is really, like, I didn't see this coming. I'm not here. I'm older, right? Here's how I know I'm older. I don't really like to watch YouTube that much. I prefer to watch TV. If you like to watch TV, you're old. If you like to watch YouTube, you're young. That's kind of more or less how it goes. Not exactly, but is that true? I'm not saying that's the gospel truth, but I mean, do you know, like, cable companies are like, they don't know what to do because people aren't getting cable as much anymore because they prefer to just watch things on YouTube and do that, right? But you think about all those things, you know, I mentioned the overall umbrella one would be just some human pursuits. Some human pursuit has you busy. You're busy, 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 and you're so busy that you don't make time for Jesus because you're too busy doing something else. So what does that say about the something else you're doing? Well, it says to you, that's more important than Jesus. You fill your time up with all these things. And it might not just be one thing. It might be like a whole collection of things. And in our life today, where we are right now, when we think about fighting the darkness in our own lives, we've got to be aware that busyness is a big enemy for us. And for some of us, that's all it takes. We become too busy. We become too busy for the Lord. Okay, the second one is apathy. Apathy. And that's like, we don't care. We don't care about the things that we should care about. In this case, it's lacking any kind of interest or concern about Jesus. And so if we are true with ourselves, like, this is something that we all wrestle with. Like, we don't care as much as we should, right? And that's why we sometimes fill our lives with other kind of busyness, because we just don't care as much as we should. But where we have that, that's where there's darkness is hovering. Darkness is hovering there. And darkness is trying to get us there in that way. And so I always think of this kind of a thing like this, like, just be honest with God and pray that he would give you more interest. You know, but acknowledge, you know, that your lack of interest there, but then do something about it. Pray and then step out and do some small things to build that interest up. Okay, but that's an area where you see darkness. Now, another one is idolatry. Idolatry. And what idolatry is that's taking the love and devotion that you should have for God and putting it on something else. So the issue is, why the darkness is there, is because you or I, we love something else more than we love God. And we spend a lot more, put a lot more of our affection and devotion on that thing than we do God. And, you know, one of the things that can be that I will put in this, that could be yourself. Yourself, love of self, pursuit of gratifying your fleshly desires. Okay, do you know in the Bible that two times that it says greed is idolatry? Greed is idolatry in Colossians 3:5 and Ephesians 5:5. Greed is idolatry. How is greed idolatry? That's because I believe you're putting yourself in the place of God. And you're making it all about worshiping yourself and gratifying yourself and doing that. Now, the fourth and final one that I have here is this one. It's called man-made morality. Man-made morality. This is where the darkness is, okay, among these other things. This is where darkness lives. Well, how is that? What is man-made? What do you mean by that? Well, first of all, I mean adding to God's word or taking away from God's word. Adding to God's word, so you make it say something that it doesn't say, take away, you edit out things that it says, but it's like God has given you this revelation, this light, and you're like saying, well, I'll take the light, I'll adapt it a little bit. I'll either make it something that allows me to control other people, and it's legalism, you know, or I'll take some of it away, or even I'll take all of it away. Okay, now we're going to have an exercise here. How many of you know what antinomianism is? We're all going to know after today. We are all going to know after today. Because Jared said in Bible study that he thought a really low percentage of people in churches wouldn't really know what this is. But not here. We're going to all know what that is today, all right? So it means basically against law, And basically what it means is like the idea that we as Christians should have any kind of law or there's any kind of moral law that God has that we are accountable to. It's kind of like this idea that, well, Christ died for you, so you're completely free to do whatever you want. Jared, is that right? Is that pretty accurate there? Okay. Because I'm how do you spell it? Well, I have it in my notes right here, so that's the only reason I can spell it. Okay? You guys can look it up. Just try to Google it. You'll be fine, you know. Okay, it's A-N-T. Okay, I'm going to start again. A-N-T-I-N-O-M-I-A-N-I-S-M. Okay. Spelling test for you. But you should have kind of encountered this kind of thinking at some point, like where you think like, okay, Christ died for me, I have freedom. It seems I have some certain freedom from the law, but there seems to be things that he still sees that are sins that I can't do that even come out of the Old Testament, that seem to be out of the Old Testament that go all the way into the New Testament. In the New Testament, I have things that it clearly says that are sin and I can't do. And so it is an error to live life and approach Christianity, approach God that way, to think that he made it so that life became a free-for-all after you came to Jesus. There's still sin, and there's still things that we are accountable to. And so that would be like a part of the man-made morality. And but one that I kind of, what I want to bring up is this idea of any kind of morality that exists out there that's saying, hey, this is good, this is right, you know, this is what's true and beneficial, and these are the things. Anything like that is doing that is preaching and teaching morality that takes God out of it, that doesn't have God in it. It's a man-made morality. It's a morality of man that doesn't have God in it at all. Okay? It's like a whole system of morals, but God is nowhere to be found. Or if God is to be found, it does not line up with Scripture and what Scripture says. And see, in our world today, people want to be good people. They want to be really good people, and they believe they can be good people. But this is what the darkness is. The darkness is, I want to be a good person, but somehow I can be a good person and God could not even be in the equation. Or I can be a good person in a way that contradicts with Scripture. That's a man-made morality, and it's actually a darkness, and we need Christ's light shining on it. Now, that shouldn't surprise any of us, because like we know and understand from 2 Corinthians 11:14, this is what it says. It says, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That's what Satan does. He'll make himself look like an angel of light, and I don't think it's just necessarily he's doing that as a being, but it's like the things that he teaches, the things that he stands for, the ways that he's working against God, he's going to make it look like it's really good and it's really right. And that's the holy thing. And then he's going to try to slander God, because didn't he start doing that back in the garden? Yeah. Isn't that what he did? Did God really say that? Oh, God's holding back from you. God doesn't want you to have this good thing. And so he makes it look like this is the good thing, this is the right thing, but God's not in it. So the light is, you know, what has God said about this? What does his word say about this? And I belong to God, and this world belongs to God. And even if it's hard for me to understand, I'm going to line up behind God, not behind the world.
Amen.
Amen? All right, so a couple more things to wrap up. Because Jesus is the light of the world, he's the light of the world. Because he's the light of the world, we no longer have to walk in darkness. Now, we may very well be making the choice to walk in darkness by not seeking the light, by not following the light. But we don't have to. He's there, and he's offering his light to each and every one of us. Second thing is, because Jesus is the light of the world, we can see clearly. We're able to see clearly. It doesn't mean that we always do, but we have the opportunity to see clearly by shining Christ's light. And the last thing, which I think we better not ignore, is that because Jesus is the light of the world, we can have life.
Amen.
We're like the plants that couldn't exist without the sun. We can actually truly have life because of Jesus, because he's that light. There's that connection between the light and life. And then finally, we can offer that light and that life to others.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the light of the world. Now, I want to close with this. I think this doesn't mention light, but I think this is perfectly tied with what I'm talking about here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it's a verse that's so well known that you may have apathy about it. You know, I say that, like, I remember, like, when my kids were going to Tacoma Baptist, you know, like, every other kid, this was like their life verse, you know. This is the one. And sometimes you hear things so much, like, you miss how important it really is, and like just what it's saying, you know. It's almost like, oh, here it is again. But, you know, what this is saying really fits with the light. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Your own understanding, that's darkness. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart and his light, that's light and that's life. So trust in the Lord with everything that you have, with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't work it out in your mind. Don't think, I got to go to my mind to find all the answers. Because all the answers are not in your mind. God has all the answers, so you just learn to trust in him. And when you don't understand, in doubt, trust in God.
Amen.
Trust in God. And in fact, is I love this when God talks about all your heart or your whole heart. God doesn't want half your heart. He doesn't want half of you. He wants all of you. So he wants you to trust in him with everything that you have, with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. And then he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make straight your paths. You think about that light. You think about the paths. You know, in everything that you do, it says, all your ways, everything that you do, acknowledge God. Be a person that acknowledges God, that is a God acknowledger in the decisions you make, in the words you say, and the actions that you take. Acknowledge God in all you do. And basically, it's saying, like, live in that light. Live in that light of Christ. And what will he do? It says he promises to make your path straight. And every single one of us should want a straight path, not a crooked path. And this is the promise of God. And I think it's so much of what Christmas is about, and we're celebrating how Jesus came as this great light for us to show the way.
Amen.
And we all need it really badly. And just remember what I'm saying. Every single day you're going to go out and you're going to make a lot of choices about whether you're going to invite a little more darkness in or you're going to invite a little more light in. And I want to encourage you to go to the light. Go to the light who came to be that great light of the world for you. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this Christmas season. And thank you for being our light. We love you. We praise you. We know you're not done with us. We know that none of us have arrived yet. We've got so much further to go. You got so much work to do in our hearts and our lives. We pray that you would do that and that you would teach us and strengthen us and grow us. And then help us to believe so much in this light, Lord, that we want to share it with others. Thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.